this stuff will end. She wants to hang out with some llamas on a farm, so we're trying to do that if we can. But the kids have been home, as your kids have probably been home too, if you have a young family with kids. And they're listening to mom and dad, and they're listening to what we're saying. And one of the things is, and I know, church, that maybe you're in the same boat with us, but we're a little disappointed in some things that have been canceled. We're a little disappointed in what we're facing right now. And our daughter, Lindley, she got the word disappointed. And so I'm getting the garbage ready, and I'm about to head out the house, and she's sitting at the counter snacking on something, and she's like, disappointed, disappointed. And I'm like, okay. And then I go outside, and I go to the dumpster, and I throw away the trash. I come in, and she's like, I'm disappointed. And she's just singing it and singing it. I'm disappointed. And we're like, oh, I just started laughing. But maybe that's how you feel today. A little disappointed, a little down, a little feeling something in you because stuff is out of whack right now. Or maybe you're blessed because you're thankful to be home. I'm thankful to be home with my family more than I ever have been. But I am disappointed in what is going on. But we serve the God that gives us a victory. Amen? I think I can speak for every pastor around the globe. Most of us have never faced something like this in our lifetime. But please know, you're in our hearts and our minds every day. We think about you. Pray for you. We think of how can we bless the church if we're not meeting together? How can we touch somebody that seems so untouchable because we can't be around them? We are thinking and praying for you every day. And we are trying all that we can to somehow make sure you are connected to the church. But most of all, that you're connected to the vine. We want this time for you to be a time to grow closer to Jesus and not further from him. Church, this is not a time to hunker down and fear for the worse. It's not the time. This is the time to stand up on our knees in prayer. It's time to ask God for the next steps for his church and the lost world. What is happening in our world today is a real thing. We're not to be paranoid, although we should be prepared and protected. This invisible enemy, as our president calls it, the coronavirus, is a real thing, and it's hurting, and it's killing many people around our world. So I was in my office this week, and I was praying. And you know, I love our God. I love, it's so nice to be able to come to him at times in life. Now, maybe you're like this, like I am. And if you're not, let me tell you, you can be. It's so nice to go to our God and be real and raw as you can be. And God is never shaken by how us being real and raw, showing our emotions. And I said this to God in my prayers this week. I said this, are you real, God? Are you real? If you're real, where are you? Where are you right now? Where are you, God? Where are you? And there was a slight pause as I was worked up, and then God said this back to me. He said, I am here in you, in my church, and in my children. I was just blown away with the response that he gave. Because so often, we want God to do something, and he says, I've already done it all, now it's your turn. I've empowered you. I've empowered you to do something. And I was reminded of these two verses. One's found in Hebrews chapter 13. It's the back half of verse 5, and it says this, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And then Deuteronomy 31 verse 6 in the NLT says this, so be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them. For the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Praise God for that, right? Church, be real and raw with our God. He can handle it. He can handle it. And he always has an answer. So here we are. in our homes this morning trying to help lessen the curve, trying to help flatten the spike in cases and deaths in our nation by social distance. So, if God is in us, church, can I ask you a few questions? What are you doing with your time? What are you doing with your talents, and what are you doing with your efforts? Let me say something, and hopefully this is a rally call here at First Open Bible. I want you to call the church this week if this touches your heart and you want to be a part of this. Right now we have one person. I just spent about $110, $115 by giving them all the supplies that they need, and they're going to sew around 20 masks for our local hospitals. Right now, somebody is saying, what am I doing with my time and my talents and my efforts? Trust me, I got to do what God has called me to do. If I did that, nobody wants that kind of mask, right? That'd be a mess. It would take me hours to maybe finish one. But there are many of you out there that are talented and gifted in this area. And we are willing to pay for that here at First Open Bible. And we want to supply our hospitals with what they need, right now. They're running out of masks. They're running out of room in hospital beds. They're running out of equipment. They're even running out of medicine. They're running out of Tylenol and other things right now in our local hospitals. And we're the church. We're the church. Let me ask you this. If God is in us, what are we doing in our prayer life right now? This should not be a lesser prayer life. This should be a greater prayer life. Listen, except for the news, because that's blown up like crazy, everything in our lives have basically stopped have calmed down. And this should be a time that our prayer life should be exploding. What are you doing with your calling? We just saw two gentlemen a moment ago doing something with their calling. They're gifted. There's a reason why I asked Damu and Walter to come up. Because if I led you in worship, we would have like maybe one or two, and that's just my wife and my parents. Maybe my sister would tune in, right? That's about it. Oh, man. I'm going to tune in when he starts preaching, right? What is the talents in your life? What is the giftings in your life? What are you called to do? This is not a time to just stop. This is a time to ask the Lord what we can do. Let me ask you, are we preparing our lamps? Or are we burning our supply by sitting in our bunkers? Church family, this pause that we have on gathering together in a building, I believe it's like a war. Hey, Pastor Cody, is it okay if I stand? I think I sat long enough. Hallelujah. Praise God. Love you. Maybe see you another time. I want to preach to you this morning and bring you some things that God was speaking to me. See, I believe this time together that we're not gathered in a building is like a war. To me, I see it as a time to rally the troops, especially the ones that have been beat up and scattered, to bring the troops back together again and gain a new strategy of attack. God is gathering his troops and he's casting new vision into his generals, his captains, and his platoon leaders so they can rally the troops and soon and fast for such a time as this. Amen? See, strategies are thought up in buildings, but wars are fought not in buildings, they're fought in battlefields. We have to have a strategy, church. So we got to get on our knees. We got to get on our knees and ask what the Spirit of the living God is saying to us right now. What is he saying? So I've said this for years. If you've attended First Open Bible, I've said this for years, and maybe you can recall this. Church will not and cannot look the same. Do you remember that? If you remember that, say amen. If we keep doing church as we've always done it, it's going to die out with our traditions and it's going to die out with our buildings. See, church is a people, not a place. And God's battles are won first in prayer. Lord, refine us. Strip the fruitless parts of our churches and rebuild us on your foundation. We want your will to be done as it is in heaven. It can be done here on earth. So the Bible teaches us something in Ephesians chapter 4, in verses 11 through 15. It says this in the NLT. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. It's called the fivefold ministry. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. Verse 13. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with their lies so clever. They sound like the truth. Last verse, 15. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Believers, this is not the time for the prosperity gospel. This is not the time for greasy grace. This is not the time to interpret God's word through your personal filters. This is not the time to say a prayer and live how you want to live. This is the time of the real and authentic church that does and says what the word of God says to do. This is the time to step up, to step into our calling. Wake up, O sleeper. Wake up. Ephesians chapter 5, 14 through 18. For the light makes everything visible. This is why it is said, awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So be careful how you live. Listen to these words, church. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Verse 17. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Church, we're made for more. And we're made for more right now. Right now. So the church, you've received gifts in the fivefold ministry, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. But don't you realize that you are the gift to a lost and dying world? You are, because you bring the gift of hope. You bring Jesus. When you get equipped by the fivefold ministry, you are now equipped to do the things that God has called you to do, and now you're the gift to the world. See, I think it's wonderful. Us church office workers have worked incredible amounts of hours lately. See, Pastor Cody, that's where you say amen. To get our church up and digital and connected. We've worked a lot of hours to get this done. But that wasn't the major crisis. Not meeting together is not the biggest issue we face right now. See, I believe the crisis is on its way, and for many people right now, the crisis is here already. Let me ask you a few more questions. What are we going to do if our country is completely covered in fear in a week or two from now? What are we going to do if our own city is full of sickness and possible death? What are we going to do if our neighborhood is full of hopelessness? What are we going to do? What are you going to do when we find out someone we know died of COVID-19? please, think about these things. Think about these things. And let the Spirit of the living God speak louder than the spirit of this world to you. God doesn't leave us, right? There's battles. There's things to be fought. But God doesn't leave us without a strategy. You have to ask him for it. What do you want from us right now? Let me share a story with you from the Bible that I believe is going to bless you. Amen? You want a story? Say amen. Amen. Let me give you a little background. Okay, 2,000 years ago, there remained 11 of the original 12 disciples. These men walked with Jesus every day. For 3.5 years, they were in God's presence together. And as they met together with the King of Kings, those disciples and some other followers of Jesus remained in the city where Jesus was killed on a cross just days before. It seemed like their whole world has crumbled. See, all normal things to them, they stopped. And everything inside of them felt like chaos. And guess what filled them? Fear. Fear filled them. They were fighting for their physical lives because their leader and protector doesn't appear to be with them anymore. So now they wonder what to do, because an enemy is after them and wanting to kill them if they go out. So the followers of Jesus hunkered down behind closed doors, and they just sat and talked about this terrible situation they now find themselves in. Let's read the story. John chapter 20, verses 19 through 22. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting together behind locked doors, because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, church at home, say suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Oh, peace be with you, he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and in his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Hallelujah! There's Jesus! Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but man, it speaks to me right now. Do you know what the greatest volunteer organization in the world is? It's not Greenpeace. It's not the CDC. It's not the Salvation Army. The greatest organization of volunteers in the entire world is the church. And it has been for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. But where's the church now? I believe it is being equipped, strengthened, and being rebuilt and restructured. And soon, and very soon, it will be mobilized. The government won't save you. Although that stimulus package, hallelujah, right? But the government won't save you. They're trying their very best to protect you. Only Jesus can save you. Life is never more precious than when you realize how fragile it truly is. And family is never more of a blessing to you until you're forced away from them. Fear becomes really, really real when it stands at your doorstep and knocks. I realize many of you are really struggling with things right now, and I feel that, and I understand that. Trust me, I feel you. But where does your help come from? I'm not done yet. I'm getting there. But let me read and pray over you right now and your family right now, this from God's word. It's in Psalm 121. Let me read this to you. Pray this over you. I lift up my eyes to the mountain. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm, and he will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Father, we thank you for this word. We receive this now for our families, for our lives, for our coworkers, and everybody we're around. God, we ask that right now, Lord, may you protect us. Angels of the living God, go and fight the battles. God, we know that the weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world. We're going to fight things that are carnal and evil, God. May you go right now. Lord, I know there's a spiritual battle taking place in America and all over the world. And fear is wanting to just come upon everyone. But where does our help come from? It comes from you, God, the maker of heaven and earth. We rely on you. We believe in you. We have faith to believe your word is true. God, may we not just look for you to do something, but God, you've already put it in us to do something. May you speak to us now. Church, rise up and wake up. In Jesus' name, amen. So the coronavirus, what are we going to do about this, church? So I hear God's Spirit speaking to us and asking us these two questions. Where is our heart and where is our mind in all of this? As God's children, we have to get our eyes off the smaller picture. And we have to look to heaven for the bigger picture. See, his ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. If you think you have to understand everything that God is doing, then I don't think you understand what it means to walk by faith. You are not supposed to walk by sight. You're supposed to walk by faith. Do I know exactly what to do right now? I'm a pastor of a church of like around 325 people. Do I know what to do right now? I don't. Don't know exactly what to do. But what I do know is this, and I wonder who else wants to say this with me right now. See, it's something a prophet said to God thousands of years ago. See, these very words out of his mouth, they shaped not only his heart and his mind, it shaped a nation for the kingdom of God. Who will join me in this? Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Then I heard the Lord asking, whom should I send as a messenger to these people? Who will go for us? I said, the prophet said, and I hope you will say, here I am. Send me. Please don't forget about your authority that is found in Christ. It's a delegated authority. Delegated. It matters who's behind that authority that gives you authority. And our authority in Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, is backed by the Father who's sitting on the throne. And he's given this to all believers. If Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life and you serve him and you obey his commandments, let me tell you what the Bible says that is in you right now. Luke chapter 4, 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. For he's anointed me. He's anointed you to bring the good news to the poor. He has sent me. He has sent you to proclaim that the captives will be released and the blind will see and the oppressed will be set free. And that the time of the Lord's favor has come. Come on now. Let it rise up in you. Spirit of the living God, rise up in you right now. So, before I end today, you might be at home right now, but who will go when the Spirit of the living God says go? When the time comes, who will be a messenger to those hurting people? Who can make masks right now? Who can do something in the name of Jesus? Who can do something to affect this community and help people all around that are feeling hopeless? Who can do it in the name of the Lord? Who can do it in the name of a church? Who can do it in the name of the church? Who can do it? Who will say, "Here I am, send me"? Because you were made for more. Let me pray. Father, we love you. We're so thankful for your word. It says in your word that's alive and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. It's going to do exactly what's been set to accomplish. And right now, there's so many things in your word that is alive. In the midst of all the death, fear, sickness, and the disease, and the hopelessness, we serve the God of Isaac, Abraham, and Jacob. We serve the God that is supposed to bless the entire world through us, church. We serve a God that our help comes from Him. We serve a God that has cattle on every hill. We serve a God who gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. This life is so frail. This life that we live right now is just a blink. But God, I pray for your eternal salvation to be upon so many people right now that are hurting, lost, and broken. But God, you must mobilize your church to go out and to provide a physical need so we can give a spiritual truth. God, may you mobilize us in whatever way you see fit. God, may you use our talents, our gifts, our heartbeat. May you teach us and show us. God, may we collaborate together. May we go into this world. If there's anybody watching from any other church, may those churches come together. May we come as a community. May we come as a city. May we come as a state, a nation. Whatever we must do, may we rise up as the church, God, and to do what you've called us to do at this very hour, at this very time, so the Lord's favor has come. God, we love you. We trust you. And I pray for anybody right now that's dealing, I just feel it, anybody dealing with depression right now, by the power and by the blood of Jesus, I pray that the joy of the Lord be your strength right now. I pray right now, if you're at home or you're watching this, or even if you're in this sanctuary, if right now you have battles in your mind and in your heart and you're really struggling with things, place your hand on you, because I can't do it. It says in God's word to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. But right now I can't do that physically. So I'm going to extend my hand and you be an extension of my hand right now as I pray for you. Put your hand on your head or your heart right now that's affected right now. And I pray right now by the blood and by the power of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, our salvation, our fortress, our Redeemer, and our Healer, right now we ask that you just come and touch those people right now in the name of Jesus. God, we pray that the depression must go. Enemy, devil, you must shut your mouth. You must bow your knee to the name above every name. And I pray that right now that the power of the Holy Spirit come upon you, and may the joy fill your heart right now in Jesus' mighty name. Mighty name. Amen, amen, amen. We love you. We hope you can tune in again. We're going to have something on Wednesday night, probably pre-recorded, maybe even possibly going to go live on Wednesday. And then next Sunday, we pray that we can be able to do this again with you until we can meet together again. But please, tomorrow, the church will be open. Will be open from 9 to 4. If you have a heart to reach out, or maybe right now as you're watching this, write down, I have Sherry, my secretary, and Haley, who's a media director, and I have a bunch of other people on staff watching this. If this is something you're interested in, or God has given you an idea to reach the church, now we can't do everything or every idea, but we have to ask what the Lord is saying. And right now I believe that we can strengthen our hospitals and our doctors and the people that need it if we would come together, the people who can sow, and we'll provide. Or maybe there's some donors that want to provide and give to the church so we can buy these things. We're going to do it. We need to do something together in the name of First Open Bible, in the name of Jesus, in the name of the church. We need to do it and let them know that we're praying for them. Will you do that for us, church? Will you come together? Let's be the church. Here I am. Send me. Amen. We love you. Bye for now.